Breaking Out by Emery Loon. Chapter 6. The Soft Unfolding of Will.
There's a knock on the door. Molse nods to Hannah, who hides under the covers, and nods to Damien, who disappears into the bathing chamber. Molse opens the door, and two servants come in bearing dinner trays. They squeeze the trays onto the writing table and depart.
Okay, you can come out.
Damien steps out of the bathing chamber, and Hannah tentatively pushes her head out from under the covers. They had to hide to keep up the show of them being pets. Molse uncovers the trays and brings a plate over to Hannah.
I selected food that should be easy for you to eat. It's all food you can eat with your fingers. I thought that would be easier for you.
Hannah snakes out one hand and accepts the plate silently. She looks it over, then snakes out her other hand and picks up a cube of cheese and nibbles on it with a trembling hand.
Thank you.
Molse smiles warmly, then joins Damien to sit in one of the armchairs.
I'm going to have to tell her how she's going to be expected to eat in public.
Molse laments.
It's a difficult one to get through. Being hand-fed is a large source of humiliation.
Damien reminds him.
Dodds, I don't want to have to humiliate her.
Molse presses his palms into his eyes.
Zudeshi is going to expect her to be humiliated.
Molse looks over at Damien, grief-stricken.
And it's all my fault.
Both you and the other human share the blame.
Damien faces him plainly, sugarcoating nothing. The three finish their plates in silence. Hannah puts her empty plate down on the bed and wraps the blankets tighter around her. Damien picks up the blanket off the floor and wraps it around his head and shoulders like a cloak. He then crawls up onto the foot of the bed, facing Hannah.
When Molse first took me, my comfort was sitting in front of a brazier and soaking in the warmth.
Kana looks up at him with surprisingly clear eyes.
I didn't have free access to the bed and blankets until a couple weeks in.
He snuggles into the blanket.
Being wrapped up in this is nice. Does it make you feel better?
Kana nods slowly. Damien gives her a soft smile.
I'm glad. Sometimes, just having something warm around you helps.
He fluffs up the blanket around his shoulders.
Like you've still got a layer of safety.
Anna's eyes drop to the folds of blanket in her lap. She touches the fabric like it might vanish.
It does feel safer.
Molse watches from partially behind the screen separating the bed and sitting area, careful not to crowd.
You did well today. You moved. You ate. You talked to us.
Anna tucks her chin slightly, unsure whether to be proud or ashamed.
If you feel up for it later, there's a comb on the counter in the bathing chamber. You don't need to do anything with it, but it's there. Just, if brushing your hair would feel good.
Damien hums his agreement from the foot of the bed.
Little comforts help. A comb. A story. A blanket. That's how we get through this place.
Molse tries to smirk.
You could comb and braid Damien's hair, if you'd like. He'd love it.
Damien blushes a bright red. Hannah glances between the two of them, surprised. There's a long silence. Hannah looks over at Molse shyly. Then, in a voice so faint it's almost missed, she asks,
Will you read to me again?
Molse's throat tightens, but he shows a warm smile.
Of course, I'd be happy to.
Hannah is asleep, curled deep beneath the blankets, her breathing slow and steady. Damien has drifted off too, wrapped up in his own blanket across the foot of the bed, one arm tucked under his head. They fell asleep to Molse reading to them short stories from the human lands. Molse now lies on the floor with his hands folded over his chest, staring up at the darkened ceiling. He doesn't move, doesn't blink, just breathes.
She asked me to read to her.
He closes his eyes, then opens them again. The ceiling hasn't changed. You didn't coerce her. He didn't strike her. Didn't even raise his voice. He read her a story, offered her warmth, and coaxed her into eating. And tomorrow, or the next day, he'll have to convince her to kneel, to bow, to open her mouth so he can feed her in public like a pet. He'll have to strip her down and put her on display. And she'll do it, because she'll grow to trust him. His throat tightens. He presses his fingertips against his forehead, like he could massage the thought away. What's the difference?
What is the difference between hurting someone into obedience and earning their obedience with warmth, if the result is the same? If the same people will watch and laugh and see her humiliated, if she kneels at his feet, just as Damion does it matter that she does it willingly? Zudeshi won't see the difference. She'll laugh the same either way.
But I will know.
It feels like manipulation. It feels like he's still using someone fragile as a shield for himself. He pictures the way Damion looked at him, back when Damion first began to trust him again. Pictures Hannah sitting quietly, her voice small and rough when she asked, "Will you read to me again?"
He wants to believe there's a difference. But if she kneels in the end, what does that make him? He closes his eyes again, lets the silence press in.
He can sense what she's dreaming right now. It's soft and fragile and quiet. Maybe that's worth something. Maybe mercy and manipulation aren't so far apart in this place. He breathes. He doesn't sleep.
Fourth day of the seventh moon, 1162 HC.
Damion crawled off the foot of the bed and joined Morsay on the floor at some point in the night. He slept soundly while Morsay has spent hours watching Hannah's dreams. She has been relaxed and sleeping deeply. Maybe that means he's approaching this the right way. Hannah snaps awake. As soon as she realizes she isn't home, a bolt of awareness shoots through her. She tightens her hold on the blankets. She's nervous, but not terrified. She's nervous of who Morsay is, but not terrified of him any longer. She appears to have warmer feelings as she recalls Damion. Morsay gives her some time to gather her thoughts and adjust before stirring. He stands and walks to her side of the bed. Damion wakes and watches him. Morsay crouches down next to Hannah, and she turns those big blue eyes toward him. He doesn't smile. That would be creepy. He keeps his face neutral as he softly says,
"Good morning. How are you feeling?"
She twitches once, but says quietly,
"I'm scared."
"I'm glad you feel comfortable enough to tell me. I wish I could make things less scary for you."
She looks down and back up at him.
"I believe you."
At that, Morsay can't help a small smile from growing on his lips.
"Thank you. You have some choices right now. You can stay here in bed, or you can try to move about and stretch your legs."
She sits up and lets a blanket fall off her shoulder.
"I'd like to get up."
Morsay's smile grows warmer.
"I'm glad you feel comfortable enough to do that. You can walk around the room, explore even. You could poke through our cabinets and drawers. You could just come sit in one of the chairs. You could take a bath. I could have breakfast brought to us. Does anything seem good to you?"
She sits up straighter.
"I'd like to take a bath."
Worry sinks into Morsay's gut. He sifts through her thoughts a little closer to ensure she'll take a bath safely. She does feel dirty. She wants to wash up and feel clean. Nothing about wanting to hurt herself. Thank gods.
"Okay, you can take a bath."
He stands up. Damion shifts and moves into a sitting position on the floor. Morsay walks over to the clothing alcove and opens it. Hannah slowly drags her legs to hang over the edge of the bed. She repositions the blanket over her shoulders.
"Can I take the blanket?"
"Yes, whatever helps you feel comfortable."
She nods, and a faint smile appears on her lips. She tentatively puts pressure on one foot, then the other, and slowly leans forward into a standing position. She looks over at Damion, and then Morsay before carefully taking the few steps to reach the end of the bed.
"Would you like to choose a new tunic to wear?"
Morsay gestures at the open alcove.
She takes a few gentle steps toward the clothing alcove, then stops. She tilts her head.
"It's all black."
"If you look closely enough, you could see dark indigo."
Damion huffs a soft laugh.
"It's a water sanctum thing."
"I'm sorry about the lack of choices."
A smirk tugs on Hannah's lips.
"It's okay. Any tunic is good enough."
Morsay pokes through the tunics and picks a long one with some silver waves embroidered on it. He hands it to her, and she accepts it with awe. She runs her fingers over the embroidery and whispers,
"It's beautiful."
Morsay smiles.
I'm glad you think so.
She clutches the tunic and glances up at Morsay and then Damion again. She takes a few tentative steps toward the bathing chamber. She opens the door, then turns to look at them again.
I'm sorry the door is broken and can't be locked, but I promise we'll respect your privacy.
She nods then, looks into the bathing chamber and back at Damion and Morsay. She finally deems it safe enough to sidestep into the bathing chamber and close the door after her. Damion exhales and stretches out on the floor again, arm flung over his eyes. Morsay stares at the closed door, mind a tangle of relief and dread. He's grateful she trusts them enough to bathe. He's terrified of what comes next. What happens when she sees the audience hall again? What happens when the Harmonarch demands a performance? For now, he lets himself sit in that quiet moment. One breath, one step. That's all any of them can do. Hannah is sitting in an armchair, delicately eating dinner. She's still wrapped in the blanket, but she is walking around. Damion sits in the other chair, and Morsay is on the floor, leaning against the wall, holding his dinner plate as he eats. They eat quietly, no one having anything to say because they're all feeling the same heavy weight of Sudeishi's expectations. Hannah finishes eating and sets her chopsticks down with a gentle click against the porcelain plate. She sits up poised, carrying herself with the quiet control of practiced diplomacy.
What is going to be expected of me?
Morsay and Damion look at each other, and Morsay takes a deep breath before putting his plate down on the floor.
The Harmonarch believes that Garrick is in love with you, and the Harmonarch is in love with Garrick, so she's very jealous.
She pulls the blanket tight around her shoulders.
Will she hurt me?
I hope not,
Morsay rushes to say, but then the truth comes out more slowly.
But it is possible she'll hurt you.
Kana takes a shaky breath, but nods her understanding.
Morsay's throat bobs as he swallows.
I am guessing she intends more to humiliate you, to parade you around in front of Garrick and everyone else.
Kana takes in a sharp breath, then lifts her chin and settles into practiced composure.
She'll expect me to put a collar on you and lead you by a leash.
Morsay's skin starts to burn from shame.
Her eyes widen as she lifts a hand to cover her mouth. She freezes a moment, but then lowers her hand and swallows as she nods.
Okay.
Has the role of a pet?
Damion says gently.
My job is mainly to follow Morsay around and not speak. It's actually pretty easy. Boring, but easy.
Hannah nods slowly.
The hardest part is kneeling for long periods of time, especially when there isn't a cushion under my knees. But generally, Sudeishi, the Harmonarch, provides cushions when she expects me to kneel for a long time.
Damion takes a deep breath.
The other humiliating thing that took me the longest to accept.
He swallows.
Morsay will feed you from his chopsticks while you're kneeling at his side.
Hannah's breath hitches. Morsay rubs at his brow anxiously.
That was the most difficult for me.
Damion slides his eyes to Morsay, and then back to Hannah.
He punished me because I refused.
Morsay presses both palms into his eyes as he mutters.
I'm not going to punish you, Hannah. I'll show you what Sudeishi expects, but it will be up to you to decide to do what she expects or not.
He looks up at them, eyes rimmed and red.
But if you refuse an order or direction in front of Sudeishi, she will likely order me to punish you, and I won't be able to refuse.
Anna's eyes widen then return to normal as she nods.
I understand.
She looks to Damion, then to Morsay, and back to Damion.
Why are you treating me better than you had treated Damion?
Morsay's breath hitches. Damion looks up at him. Kana shifts her gaze toward him. They're staring at him. They're seeing right through him. Morsay tries to speak clearly, but it just comes out as a whisper.
The experience changed me. I...
He bows his head and holds it in his hands.
I had allowed myself to become drunk on power, but Damion brought me back to life again.
He looks up at Hannah with grief-stricken eyes.
But I vowed to do better for him and my people.
Kanda wraps the blanket tighter around herself and nods.
Okay.
She says again, then takes a steadying breath.
If this is going to happen, and I want to learn how to do it right, I don't want to make things worse.
Morse looks up, startled.
Not because I agree with it, but because I want to choose how I survive.
And suddenly, they realize. This girl may have been dragged here under terrifying circumstances, but her spirit is still her own. She stands and readjusts the blanket around her shoulders.
But can we start tomorrow?
Her voice softens.
Tonight, could you read more again?
Fifth day of the seventh moon, 1162 HC.
Mulse is wrapped around the toilet having just vomited. Damion and Hannah are carefully peeking into the bathing chamber to see what is happening to him. He thought he was fine. They were just beginning. Just going over how to properly kneel. That's all. But then she knelt and looked up at him with those blue eyes. And Mulse remembered. He remembered the first time Damion knelt for him. He had looked down and felt so satisfied. So powerful. So aroused. His stomach churned and curdled at the memory, and he dashed into the bathing chamber and vomited into the toilet. Now he's panting over the toilet rim, afraid to vomit again as memories swirl through his mind. Shame burns through his skin. Mulse bangs his head repeatedly on the rim, and Damion is at his side in an instant. Don't hurt yourself.
What's wrong?
Hannah says nervously. She's not wrapped in a blanket. She was able to shed it this morning. Damion looks over at her.
I think he's regretting what he did to me.
Mulse nods and rests his burning red cheek on the cool rim of the toilet. Mulse closes his eyes. This is all because he let himself slip after he ascended to master. He let himself become corrupted. He ruined Damion. He failed his people. And now he's being asked to ruin and fail this innocent woman. Mulse's breath stutters. Another wave of nausea stirs, but he clamps his jaw shut and stays still, face pressed to the rim, the cold porcelain grounding him. Damion moves closer, crouching at his side again, steadying him with a hand on his back.
You didn't ruin me.
Damion murmurs, quiet enough that only Mulse could possibly hear.
But you did break something, and now you're seeing it.
Mulse squeezes his eyes shut.
I liked it. I liked it so much. That's what's making me sick.
I know.
Connor steps into the room and lowers into a crouch on the tile, keeping a respectful distance.
So, what happens now?
Mulse opens his eyes and stares down at the floor.
I can't do this again. I can't be the thing that ruins another person.
Hannah's brow furrows.
You think you ruined Damion?
Her gaze drifts to Damion. She studies him carefully.
You're not ruined,
she says, her voice soft but firm.
I'm changed,
Damion says, looking back at her.
And I'm a better person than I used to be. It was a horrific journey, but I'm not ruined.
Mulse lifts his head slowly. His eyes are red, his face blotchy with shame, but his voice is steady now.
Then I have to change, too. If I'm going to teach you how to survive, it has to be in a way that lets you stay yourself.
Hannah nods with understanding.
I'd like that.
Mulse stays on the floor. He folds his arms, rests his forehead on them, and lets out a long, shaking breath. It's not redemption, not forgiveness, but it's a start. The only thing that is important right now is that he does better going forward.
Chapter 7. Together We Endure.
Hannah and Damion are sitting on the armchairs while Mulse kneels on the floor in front of them. He gathered them there to tell Hannah about his powers so they can use it to coordinate when in public. Mulse takes a deep breath.
Hannah, I need to tell you about one of my powers. It may shock and upset you.
She furrows her brow confused and glances up at Damion. He nods. She turns to face Mulse again.
I'm a telepath. Have you heard of that?
Hannah shakes her head.
I'm not surprised you don't know. It's an incredibly rare power. Only the Watermaster and the Marshmaster have this power.
Mulse takes a deep breath and braces himself.
I can read your mind.
She abruptly stands and takes a few steps back.
What?
Mulse tries to make himself seem as non-threatening as possible as he nods. She looks to Damion. And he nods as well.
It's actually really handy. We talk to each other, mind to mind, regularly.
When we're out in public, we'll be able to talk to each other secretly. If you have questions, you just have to ask them in your mind, and then I can answer them. I can create a bridge so that all three of us can be in on the same conversation.
Kana is shaking, but she returns to her seat.
Okay, what is it like?
This is me speaking in your mind.
He gently pushes to Hannah.
Her eyes pop open.
Are all that sane?
She grasps her mouth.
I heard you.
Molsei nods.
Now try speaking to me in your mind. All you have to do is form the words in your mind, and I'll hear them.
You can honestly hear my thoughts.
I can honestly hear your thoughts.
She glances back and forth between Molsei and Damion, her eyes wide.
I don't have words. This is just, wow. Just, wow.
Damion gives her a small nod of encouragement.
It feels overwhelming at first. But once you realize it means we can look like we're obeying while secretly plotting, it gets easier.
Molsei watches Hannah closely.
This is our edge. In a place like this, silence is safety, and a silent voice that can be heard.
He taps a finger against his temple.
That's a massive advantage.
Hannah swallows hard, but her shoulders start to settle.
So if I ever panic or don't know what to do...
Just think it, and we'll be right there with you.
She nods, slowly at first, then firmer.
Okay, let's do this right then.
Molsei finally lets himself breathe.
Let's practice speaking without speaking.
A quiet beat passes between them. None of them are smiling, but all three are held together by something steadier than fear. Whatever comes next, they will face it as one.
The three of them lounge on the floor, sharing thoughts mind to mind. Now and then, Hannah smiles, genuine but fleeting before sobriety overtakes her again.
Then comes a knock. The door creaks open.
You've been summoned to the Harmonox suite, all three of you.
Molsei and Damion share a look of shock. Hannah's eyes widen. Her pulse quickens. Molsei stands with practiced grace.
It will be just one moment. I need to prepare my pets for transport. I'm sorry. Damien's arms are expected to always be bound, and I suspect the Harmonarch will be happiest if you are leashed.
He sends through to the three-way connection. Damion and Hannah rise. Hannah nods, squaring her shoulders with quiet resolve.
I can do this.
Her voice is heard in their minds. Molsei and Damion share a different look, one that is older and heavier. Knowing.
Molsei retrieves the arm bindings. Damion folds his arms behind his back so they can be bound. Then Molsei rummages for the collar and leash. He grimaces as he meets Hannah's eyes, but she nods with confidence. He buckles the collar loosely around her neck and clips on the leash.
I meant to practice this tonight in the hallways once everyone was asleep, but we ran out of time. I'm sorry.
I understand. I'll do my best with what you've taught me. And at least we can still talk like this.
Are you both ready?
Yes.
Ready.
Molsei exhales slowly. Then he turns to the door. The escort steps aside to let them out. Hannah keeps close to Molsei, keeping the leash loose, and Damion follows. They follow the escort down the hallways. Molsei knows he needs to mentally prepare Hannah for what happens in Zudeishi's suite. But putting what happens there into words has always troubled them.
Hannah.
Molsei starts, but loses his nerve.
Yes?
He takes a deep breath.
What happens in Zudaishi's suite is always upsetting.
Molsei can sense Hannah trying to steel herself.
It's worse for Molsei than it is for me.
Damion continues, sensing Molsei's hesitation.
She usually just has me watch, or hold him down.
Connor's eyes widen.
What does she do to you?
She...
Molsei loses his words again.
Damion finishes the thought.
She uses Molsei to sexually satisfy herself. Often violently.
Hannah's steps falter. Her panic about her virginity and sexual inexperience bombards their mental connection.
I'm sorry, Hannah.
Molsei's grief floods his body.
I don't know what she will do, but hopefully she'll keep her attention on me, I'll try to keep her attention on me, okay?
Hannah's thoughts settle, and a small, okay, slips through, clearer than the rest. They pass by the guards to the suite and enter. Zudaishi is already there, lounging on the couch by the expansive windows with a goblet in hand. She smiles when they enter.
My pets.
She walks to them and circles the three of them. Hannah trembles. Zudaishi smiles and runs a finger down her arm.
She trembles like a fawn.
She takes the leash from Morsay.
Serve yourself a drink, Morsay dear.
Morsay nods and heads to the minibar. Zudaishi leads Hannah by the leash and lounges on the couch again. She pulls the leash close, so Hannah's knees press against the couch cushions.
Kneel.
Hannah kneels just as she was taught, her knees shoulder-width apart and her right ankle over the left. She keeps her gaze down. Zudaishi smiles, pleased.
Your training is going well, Morsay.
He turns to face them with a cup of Mistborn in his hand. He didn't start by downing a cup this time. He wants to keep his wits to do what he can to shield Hannah.
I'm good at what I do.
He approaches the couch. Zudaishi reaches out and fingers the sleeve of the tunic Hannah is wearing.
What is this, though? She looks like she's wearing a black sack.
It's all I had.
He stops his approach to stand behind Hannah.
Why not leave her nude, then?
Hannah's mental connection explodes with thoughts of fear, shame, and desire for modesty. But she remains stoic, her face unmoved. Morsay runs a hand along the back of Hannah's shoulder.
I've got you.
He steps to her side and answers coolly.
I find the female form is better left as a gift to be unwrapped.
Zudaishi hums warmly at Morsay.
Go to the tailor and put her in prettier gift wrapping.
Morsay girds himself to dare to sit down next to Zudaishi without being invited. He needs to keep her attention off of Hannah. He sits and runs gentle fingers up Zudaishi's thigh.
You're enjoying this, aren't you?
Zudaishi smiles devilishly. Morsay smiles at Hannah, then shifts his gaze to smile smug satisfaction at Zudaishi. He hums his agreement and rests his hand high on her thigh.
Have you been growing restless while training her these past few days?
He takes a deep, lustful breath.
Yes.
She leans forward and drags a finger over his cock cage.
You weren't able to get satisfaction from her like you had when breaking Damien.
He slowly shakes his head and leans closer to her.
No.
She brushes her lips against his.
Do you want a release?
He captures her lips, then pulls back only just enough to whisper.
Yes, your radiance.
Zudaishi rises and gives Hannah's leash a sharp, awkward tug, pulling her aside by the neck. With her other hand, she extends an inviting gesture to Morsay. He takes it, setting his untouched Mistborn on the low table as he rises. Without a word, Zudaishi walks backward, guiding Morsay with one hand and dragging Hannah with the other. Damien follows in silence.
I think I successfully distracted her. She's probably going to make you watch.
Morsay pushes to their three-way connection.
She likes an audience. She'll just ask us to kneel and watch.
Zudaishi walks Morsay and Hannah to the edge of the bed of silks and pillows.
Hannah, kneel.
She drops to her knees and Zudaishi drops the leash in front of her.
Damien, kneel next to Hannah.
He approaches and lowers himself to kneel next to her. Zudaishi turns her attention to Morsay. She fingers the buttons of his shirt.
Poor Morsay, doing what you love and no way to get release. These past few days must have been torture.
Morsay runs his hands up and down her arms.
I've missed you, your radiance.
You've never been so affectionate before. Maybe I should give you pets to train more regularly.
He hums noncommittally and leans down to kiss along her jaw. He reaches behind her and unties her bodice. She steps back and continues to work on loosening her bodice.
Strip.
He unbuttons his shirt and tosses it aside before shucking off his pants. She finishes with her bodice and her gown drops at her feet. She pulls him close.
Let's free you and let you have that release you've earned.
The cock cage's latches click open and is then removed. It funks on the floor, where she unceremoniously drops it. Zudaishi pulls Morsay on the bed with her. It's clear she wants to be worshipped tonight. A night of worship,
humiliation without cruelty. The best outcome he could have hoped for.
Morse does his best to make Zudashi feel wanted and desired. It feels easier tonight than usual. He's not thinking about how to protect himself. Instead, his thoughts are just on how he can protect Hana. Each satisfied moan from Zudashi means her attention is further from Hana. He works her to climax several times, but she hasn't forgotten about him. She's insistent he get his reward for his success with breaking Hana. He tries to focus, but every time she references his breaking skills, his stomach roils and pleasure falls flat.
Finally, she stops talking long enough for him to find a way to come. He feels disgusting. He always feels disgusting afterwards with her. But he kept her mind off Hana. That's all that matters. She didn't further torment Hana. Zudashi gets off the bed and walks towards the bathing chamber.
I'm done with you.
She trails her nails through Hana's hair.
You're dismissed.
She enters the bathing chamber and closes the door behind her. Molse rolls to the edge of the bed and picks up the cock cage. He clicks it back on, then swipes his pants and pulls them on.
Let's go.
He sends to Damion and Hana while picking up the rest of his clothes. They stand and follow him to the table by the entrance.
Molse goes through his routine to assemble himself back into a presentable fashion before exiting the suite, then leads Damion and Hana back to their chambers. As they walk through the hallways, Molse checks in with Hana.
Are you all right?
Yeah, yes.
Hana says faintly.
Let's talk about it when we get back to the room.
Oh, okay.
They enter their chambers. Molse unbinds Damion's arms and gently removes Hannah's collar. Then he gestures for the three of them to sit in a loose circle on the floor.
You sounded hesitant when I asked how you were doing.
Connor's cheeks flush crimson. She keeps her gaze turned away.
Am I going to be expected to take part in that?
Molse and Damion exchange a glance that's heavy with dread. Molse inhales carefully.
I don't know. There's a chance. I would never ask it of you, but we don't know what the Harmonarch will demand.
Hana nods, swallowing hard. A single tear slides down her cheek. Her thoughts ripple too loudly for Molse to ignore. She's thinking she'll never find a place to belong again. That surviving this makes her suspect. That humans will see her not as a victim, but as someone who must have cooperated to stay alive. And collaborators are executed. He shares it with Damion, then adds privately,
She's worried if she survives this, she'll only end up being called a collaborator and killed anyway. She's trying to weigh whether all this pain is worth it.
Damion looks up, eyes full of grief. He turns to her.
Hana.
She looks at him, eyes rimmed red.
Our cultures tell us that we can be corrupted somehow. But it's not true. We may change, and often it makes us better. But we're definitely not corrupted.
She's frozen. Listening intently.
It's true that the people we grew up with may never understand us again. Hannah's breath catches. But that doesn't mean we're lost. It means we've outgrown something. It means we get to find a new path. There is more out there than you can even imagine right now, Hana.
She blinks and more tears fall, but Damion has her undivided attention.
The pain changes us, but not for the worse. It makes us capable of seeing the world more clearly. Of choosing who we want to be, and once we do, we find new ways to live. New places, new people who understand.
Kuna's breath shakes as she breathes in.
We can find a kind of happiness that was never possible if we had stayed in our original culture.
The words hang in the air. Hana blinks, stunned. She looks at him wide-eyed.
Really?
Yes. I used to think like you, that once I was broken, I never belong anywhere again. But I've discovered kinds of love I never imagined. I feel the old me was so small. I don't ever want to be that person anymore.
She draws in a shaky breath.
I'm alone now, though. My entire family and village is dead.
We won't let you be alone.
We'll always look out for you.
She looks up at them, uncertain.
But why would you help me?
Molse answers without hesitation.
Because we understand you and your story. You're not a burden. You're one of us now.
Damion nods.
We're a team, and a team takes care of each other.
Chapter 8. Gift-Wrapped Threat. Ninth day of the seventh moon, 1162 HC.
The corridor spills forward into the sound of revelry. The walls ahead hum with music, voices, laughter, and the shifting of feet. They can hear that the audience hall is alive tonight.
Morsay leads their trio, keeping his expression neutral and his grip on Hannah's leash light. Hannah walks to his left, close enough that the leash hangs loose. Damion shadows behind them without hesitation, with his arms folded behind him. This is their first time entering a room full of eyes, and they walk toward it like a single body.
They've spent their nights practicing, not just walking, but moving together, entering rooms in silent unity. They pace the hallways, the audience hall, the dining hall, all to memorize their timing, their spacing, their expressions. They adjust their pace by instinct now. Hannah's steps match Mulsey's. Damion's footfalls fall a beat behind. They pivot and pause without speaking, turning at the same moments, facing the same direction. Even when the halls are empty, they hold their formation.
They're not in empty halls now. This is no longer the rehearsal, but their debut performance. Their opening cue is to walk the busy corridor, having people pass them in both directions, and move effortlessly around them, like water. They're nailing it. Whispered praises reach their ears.
They position themselves in front of the audience hall doors. With a nod from Mulsey, the servants swing the doors open. The pulse of noise hits them as the doors move, but the sound immediately quiets as a hush spreads like spilled ink.
The audience hall is filled with people from wall to wall. The scent of wine and roasted meat swirls with the faint tang of magic. Gilded torches flicker against white marble walls, casting long shadows across the crowd.
Mulsey enters the hall with measured elegance, the leash in his hand trailing to Hannah's collar. Her head is high, her steps are graceful, practiced. Behind them, Damion follows, arms folded behind his back in submission, the living echo of an earlier conquest. Mulsey is once again the monster, delivering a pet for public scrutiny. Only this time, the pet is Hannah.
At the opposite end of the hall, Zudeishi is already smiling. The golden strands in her black hair catch the firelight and glitter. She leans forward within her throne, practically gleaming.
Look at her! So much better wrapped and bare. You've outdone yourself, Mulsey.
He bows slightly at the waist, his expression smooth, empty. But inside, his stomach twists. Zudeishi expected Hannah to be nude. But Mulsey successfully argued that women are more desirable when gift-wrapped. They were sent to the seamstress and came out with an outfit that is more wrapping than dress. The bodice ties in two neat bows that can be pulled open with a single tug. The skirt drapes low on her hips, soft and sheer, with high slits that promise more than they show. The fabric is modest in coverage, but weighted in all the right places. It doesn't conceal the body so much as heighten the pleasure of unveiling it. Zudeishi rises from the throne, beckoning with a curl of her finger.
Bring her forward.
The trio cross the tiled floor, each step sounding louder than it should. When they reach the base of the dais, Ulsei guides the leash gently to turn Hannah in place. Once. Twice. Like a jewel on a pedestal. Her outfit flutters with the movement.
Zudeishi steps down from the dais to get a better view.
Oh, she is lovely. Garrick will be beside himself.
She casts a glance to the crowd, theatrically widening her eyes.
He thought he could hide her from me. Isn't that adorable?
Laughter bubbles up around them. Cruel. Eager.
Garrick will be here soon.
Zudeishi lifts Hannah's chin with one long nail.
Ready to smile for him, little pet?
A grin sharpens.
Enough of that. Go, mingle, eat, let the people get a good look at what belongs to me.
With a dismissive flit of her hand, she turns back and steps up the dais, satisfied. The three of them enter the crowd in silent coordination. They reach the wine and food tables, and Mulsey selects a few things with deliberate grace. Something sweet, something savory, something rare. He places each item on the plate Hannah holds out with steady arms.
She doesn't tremble. Not once does she look away from the middle distance she's chosen. Not a flicker of defiance, not even fear, just control. That, above all, is what startles the crowd. The leash is slack. Her spine is straight.
Her body moves with elegance instead of tension. Damion trails behind her like he belongs there, and not a single word has passed between them since they entered. By the time they find a place at the edge of the hall, the murmurs have already begun to spread. Malric finds them on their way to a secluded spot near one of the perimeter tables.
Impressive.
Malric murmurs as he approaches, gaze fixed on Hannah like she's a specimen.
No bruises, no welts, no burns, and yet...
His lips curl faintly.
She obeys.
Malsay tilts his head, indulgent.
The Harmonarch prefers her pets unmarred.
Malric circles. Not too close, but enough to examine her from different angles.
Nine scream. Bite. I've yet to find one that doesn't flinch after the first hour.
His eyes settle on Hannah's face.
But this one appears like she belongs here.
She learns quickly. It's a useful trait.
And yet, I see no signs of force. No scarring, no drug glaze in her eyes.
Malric smiles, more intrigued than jealous.
How do you do it?
Molsey shrugs, taking the wine from Hannah's hand without looking at her.
Some of us were born for this work.
Malric snorts.
You always were the Harmonarch's favorite artisan.
He looks at Hannah again, this time thoughtfully.
She's not just broken, she's shaped.
Molsey says nothing. Malric lingers a moment longer, then gestures toward Hannah's form.
Tell me, what did you take from her first?
Molsey smiles, slow and unreadable.
That's the difference between us, Malric. I don't start by taking.
Malric's smile lingers too long. Molsey meets it with one of his own.
Be careful, Malric. Curiosity looks good on you, but envy does not.
Malric lets out a short laugh. Maybe real, maybe not.
One day, I'll get your recipe.
Try. See what you become.
Malric moves on, the air around him sharp with curiosity. They navigate the crowd and finally reach their destination of a secluded perimeter table. Molsey lowers himself into a seat, like a man long accustomed to it. Hannah kneels to his left, Damion to his right, both of them fluid, wordless. The leash pulls lightly on the floor. Hannah raises the plate and wine in offering. The precise angle of her wrists, the easy way her knees settle beneath her, the softness in her expression. None of it looks forced. The whispers ripple outward.
Not even a flinch. Did you see the leash wasn't taut? Not once.
Like dancers.
Tulsey takes the plate from Hannah. He plucks a slice of fruit, lifts it to Hannah's lips. She eats without hesitation. He offers the next to Damion, who takes it the same way, not looking at the food but at him. The plate shifts between his hands. He feeds them as if it's always been like this. As if this is just how things are done. The murmurs about them grow. A ripple of laughter from the dais draws Morsay's gaze. Zudaishi reclines back, languid, but her eyes track them now. The flick of her finger at a person's whisper. The tight pull at the corner of her mouth. He knows those signs. He's seen it before. She's pleased. But something darker stirs beneath that pleasure. Her goal is to humiliate Garrick. It was not to gift Molsey with a masterpiece. He can feel her jealousy beginning to brew. His stomach begins to flutter.
Did I do this wrong? Was training perfect poise the wrong direction to take?
A sharp clap cuts through the murmur of the revel. Zodeshi rises from her throne with deliberate grace, eyes locked on Molsey.
I'm in the mood for a dance,
she purrs, her voice laced with silk and challenge.
You'll indulge me, won't you, Molsey, dear?
Molsey stands smoothly, masking the clench of his stomach. He bows low with a sweep of his arm.
Of course, your radiance.
He looks to Hannah and Damion.
Stay.
They nod. Molsey rises and steps away, but Sudaishi's gaze lingers on Hannah.
And the human. She should dance too. It would be a shame for her to sit idle. After all, she must have some entertainment value.
Halsey stiffens. He glances to Hannah.
I have no problem with dancing. I love dancing.
Molsey nods and picks up her leash from the floor,
Now who should dance with the human?
Zadeshi casts her gaze along the crowd. Several men around the perimeter straighten, eager. A few even step forward, offering their hands. The Deshi's expression tightens with visible disgust.
No.
Her gaze sweeps the room, calculating.
Maedor, your father was a stickler for training you to dance, wasn't he? And Valena's father continued the drills.
Maedor blinks, clearly caught off guard, but steps forward without hesitation, Valena keeping to his side.
It's true, your radiance.
Then you...
She waves him forward.
Come dance with the human.
He bows.
As you command, your radiance.
Hannah looks to Molsey.
Maedor is a good man,
he sends to her. She nods once, calm, grounded. Molsey hands the leash to Maedor, who bows to Hannah and offers his hand. Hannah accepts with steady fingers, and they move to the open floor. Valena stays at the edge of the crowd, watching closely. Molsey turns and offers his hand to Zudaishi. The musicians strike up a slow, elegant rhythm. Eerie strings and haunting percussion ripple through the room. At first, Hannah is cautious, her timing a hair late, her posture too human. But then something shifts. She finds the rhythm of both the music and Maedor's movement. Her feet fall into place. Her back straightens. Her body remembers. She glides. Twirl after twirl, spin after spin, she mirrors Maedor's graceful steps with growing ease. When Maedor tests her, tilting into a complex spiral or shifting tempo, she keeps pace without hesitation. Her skirts flutter like silk petals in bloom. The slack of the leash sways behind her like an afterthought, unnoticed by the perfection of her lines. Around them, conversation stills. The murmurs begin again.
She's beautiful.
Look at her control. Is she human?
What did Molsey do to her?
Zadeshi hears every word. She stiffens beneath Molsey's touch, though her face holds its practiced smile. She arches her neck, drawing attention to herself, leans back into Molsey's arm as though their bodies are fused. But the whispers don't shift. No one is watching her. Everyone is watching Hannah, admiring her. The music ends. Hannah and Maedor come to a gentle stop, bowing to each other with flawless etiquette. The room exhales. Zudaishi releases Molsey's hand a beat too fast. Her smile falters, just for a blink.
That was adequate,
she says, louder than necessary. Alena joins Maedor and Hannah as they approach. Maedor hands the leash to Molsey, but Valena addresses Zudaishi.
Your Radiance, if you ever decide to sell her, Flame Sanctum will be an interested buyer.
Zudaishi nods, but her smile twitches. She turns on her heel and walks back to the dais, with head held high, skirts trailing like shadows in her wake.
But one dance hardly proves a thing,
she says over her shoulder.
We'll see how she does when Garrick arrives.
She lowers herself into the throne with a smirk.
You were extraordinary,
Molsey sends. Hannah has no outward reaction, but in the quiet space between their thoughts, she whispers.
Thank you.
Molsey leads Hannah to regroup with Damian, and he doesn't need to glance behind him to know Zudaishi is still watching. He can feel it. Not just her gaze, but the heat of her attention, focused and silent, like a brand pressed between his shoulder blades. She isn't speaking, she isn't smiling, she's too still. And he knows her stillness. It isn't satisfaction, it's assessment. She hadn't wanted Hannah to dance well. She'd wanted her to falter. She wanted something awkward, something to mock. But Hannah had moved like grace incarnate. The people had praised Hannah. They hadn't looked at Zadeshi. Molsey sinks into the chair, and Hannah automatically kneels beside him. The leash remains coiled in his hand. His stomach turns cold. Zudaishi hadn't wanted a masterpiece. Molsey wants to smack himself, he feels so blind. She'd wanted a message. And now, no one is looking at her. They're looking at Hannah. He clenches his fists. He taught Hannah to carry herself with dignity. He wonders now if he's just painted a target on her back.
Chapter 9. Terror, Tenderness, Trust.
Zudaishi has Molsey pinned against the wall,
her talon-like nails digging into his throat until they draw blood.
You'd still take me like this?
Yes, Your Radiance,
Molsey whispers through her grip.
I don't believe you.
She narrows her eyes and squeezes tighter.
You terrify me,
he gasps, shifting under her hold.
It's a thrill to be intimate with someone who terrifies me.
Her other hand rips the toggles off his tunic. She slices a circle around his heart.
I could take it out right now.
You can cut it out. Sweat glistens on his brow. And it's incredible that you keep bringing me back.
His hands tremble. He presses them into the wall to steady himself.
She releases him without warning and turns away. He doesn't move. She walks behind Damion and Hannah, both kneeling, and grabs Damion's chin and yanks it upward.
You made him your submissive pet. You like submission.
You showed me another way, Your Radiance.
Lulsei says, breath tight, choosing every word with care.
You awakened something I never knew.
She drops Damion's face, letting it fall, then seizes Hannah's hair and yanks hard. Hannah yelps.
You want her, a sweet little obedient pet.
Your Radiance.
Molsey gingerly takes a step forward.
I could have had a submissive wife long ago, but I didn't.
He lifts his hand slowly.
Only you give me what I want.
She straightens, releasing Hammer, then strikes against Molsey. Her arm slices sideways, a flash of power tearing through the air and across Molsey's chest. He folds inward, staggering as blood wells and fabric falls loose.
You lie!
She flings her other arm.
The second slash crosses the first, ripping from shoulder to thigh. Molsey crashes into the wall behind him.
Your Radiance, I'm always honest with you.
She storms up to him and slaps him hard across the face.
All men want submissive women. You all think with your pricks.
She drives her foot into his crotch. He folds, clutching himself.
You just want someone to bend over and let you fuck them.
Her knee slams into his face. He drops, curled around himself on the floor, blood dripping through his fingers. She kicks him onto his back, bends over him and rips the remainder of the front of his pants off. She shoves back his arms and legs and straddles him. She impatiently fidgets with the cock cage and then tosses it aside. She strokes his cock while he lies there with his hands pressed into the floor.
No man wants a woman who takes what she wants.
She pumps him faster. He grimaces but grows harder.
I'm left needing to take a man I want when I want him.
She lifts herself and then sinks down onto his cock.
Molsey watches her use him, clenching the floor with his fingertips. He slides his eyes over to check on Hannah and Damion. They're kneeling, but unharmed. Damion unreadable, but Hannah looking horrified. He looks back at Zudeshi continuing to angrily use him.
I am the Harmonarch. Men should be throwing themselves at my feet, but no, no. They whimper after softness.
She grinds her hips hard into him, and he grimaces.
They whimper after submission.
She bounces and grits her teeth.
Men see me and shrink back.
She sends a snarling gesture towards Hannah.
But her, they lined up to dance with her like she was a prize.
She grabs Molsey's chin.
I am the prize.
Your prize, Your Radiance.
She growls low in her throat and slaps him across the face.
Lies. All men would rather fuck a docile little flower than kneel before a goddess.
She bends low to his face and says lowly,
you all pretend it's about love, about connection, and you're all liars.
She grinds against him, breathing harder with eyes closed. She rakes her nails down his chest as her body convulses. She pants and opens her eyes to look down at him.
It's about power.
She stands and presses her heel into his testicles.
It has always been about power.
Molsey's eyes widen, nervous, but she relents and turns away.
Molsey doesn't move. Blood pools beneath him from the slices across his body.
His eyes open and unfocused, fixed somewhere just past her. Zudeshi paces.
Garrick, even he isn't immune. All that golden strength.
She turns and glares at Hannah.
Yet his cock stirs for a quiet little mortal mouse.
She strikes Hannah across her face with the back of her hand. She takes the blow and demurely returns to her position.
Zudeshi turns back toward Molsey,
breathing hard, chest heaving.
I offer myself to him!
She throws out one arm and clutches her heart with the other.
I will rule right beside him, give him power, protection, immortality.
Her voice pitches higher, a desperate edge cutting through the fury.
Instead, he casts me aside for a girl who would bow at his feet instead of stand beside him.
She turns back to Hannah and gestures at her form.
Is that what it takes? A trembling girl in a dress made to fall off.
She yanks on the tie, and the dress falls like petals from a crushed flower. Hannah shudders, the flush of humiliation burning across her cheeks. But she doesn't cover herself. She doesn't move. Just kneels, stripped bare, and obedient. So Daishi's mouth twists, then colder, more venomous.
Maybe when I have him, he'll learn to see properly. Maybe he just needs help understanding where a woman's place really is.
She looks to Malsei again. Limp and silent, broken across the floor like an offering. Her eyes flicker with something unreadable behind the flame.
All of you men may want obedience, but I'll teach you to take what I give you instead.
She turns away from them and waves a hand flippantly.
Now fuck off. I'm done with you.
She marches into the bathing chamber and slams the door. Orsay walks into their chambers with as much poise as a man can whose clothes are partially sliced off him, and a cock cage on display. He lets Hannah's leash fall from his hand as he sinks to his knees, hands braced on the floor. Hannah and Damion enter behind him, and the door shuts with a soft snick.
After a moment's pause, Hannah walks behind Damion and unbuckles his arm restraints. Molsey looks up at her. She hasn't done that before. She's adapting to their patterns. His breath catches. She's learning so quickly. He's proud of her, and simultaneously aching with guilt that she's had to learn at all. She should be off dancing her heart out at some festival in the human lands.
Damion rubs feeling back into his arms as he crouches down beside Morsay.
Let's get you cleaned up, all right?
Morsay nods, and Damion helps him stand. He walks with much less poise into the bathing chamber.
Damion turns on the tub, while Molsey starts to remove his clothing remnants. Damion crosses back over and helps him peel off the ruined and bloody clothes.
She does this a lot.
Hannah's small voice reverberates off the tiling of the quiet space. She's standing in the doorway clutching the door jamb.
Molsey glances at her, and then away.
Yeah.
And Damion helps you after?
Every time, Damion says quietly as he helps remove Molsey's shoes.
Can I help?
Molsey and Damion's faces whip to her.
You don't have to.
She steps forward into the bathing chamber.
I want to help. We're a team, right?
Damion twists and sits to face her, smiling warmly.
We're a team.
The two of them remove Molsey's clothes and help him into the bath. They wash his wounds and gently clean away her slick. Hannah shampoos his hair, and Molsey swears she is massaging his scalp. It's nice. This is nice. He doesn't have to worry about his wounds. They're taking care of him.
I feel like she did this because of me.
Anna says quietly as she rubs Molsey's scalp.
No, don't think that.
Molsey immediately says. He leans forward and turns to face her, white bubbles lathered in his hair.
She doesn't need a reason. She's been doing this to me for 49 years.
Kana raises her hands to her gawking mouth.
49 years!
Damion nods grimly.
It's always been like this. Nothing unusual happened tonight.
Hannah shifts back and sits on the floor.
You've lived this for 49 years.
She looks up and shifts her gaze between them both.
I'm only 22. That's more than twice my whole life. And you've lived every day of it like this.
Molsey and Damion share a glance that requires no words. She is so young.
Hannah draws up her knees and lays her arms loose around them. She stares at the tiling on the floor like it might explain something to her.
Every night.
Wilsey blinks slowly.
I've gotten a few days off since you arrived.
Oh.
She doesn't look away. Her lips are parted like she might say something else, but nothing comes out. Her breath shudders once. Silent. Damion doesn't move. He watches her watch them. Hannah lowers her head a little.
You always know it is coming, and you just wake up and get dressed,
and...
She trails off and doesn't finish.
Go on living every day.
Damion continues her thought.
Even when something awful is guaranteed around the corner.
Hannah slowly leans her cheek to rest on her knee.
49 years.
The number hangs there. She doesn't say it like a question. She says it like a tombstone. Then, quieter still, she doesn't mean to say it aloud at all.
I can't even imagine 1 year.
Olsay closes his eyes. Damion does too.
And you know tomorrow will be the same. And the next day. And the day after.
The silence agrees with her. Her hand creeps out slowly, hesitant and reverent, and touches Molsey's where it rests on the rim of the tab. She doesn't hold it, just rests her fingers beside his.
I didn't understand. I thought I did, but I didn't.
She blinks at the floor, eyes red.
I thought maybe this was a bad week, a bad month. But this is just your life.
The three sit quietly and let the horror sink in. Molsey steps into the bedchamber, slow and stiff. The fire brazier flickers low, painting warm light across the chamber. He starts to lower himself to the stone floor, as he has every night since Hannah arrived.
Wait!
Hannah moves quickly to his side, her hand hovering near his elbow.
Don't. Don't sleep on the floor tonight, please.
He pauses.
The bed is your space.
She clasps her hands together.
I know you both sleep on the floor so I can have it, but you're hurt. It isn't fair for me to keep it only for myself.
His mouth tightens. He remembers Damion telling him how awful it was for Molsey to invade his space.
You should have space just for you.
There's enough room for three.
Her voice is soft, not pushy. Carefully measured.
It's a large bed, and it doesn't seem right to let you lie on stone like this.
Molsey doesn't move.
I don't know where the line is. When does shared space become a violation?
Hannah wets her lips and keeps her tone light, logical.
We all share meals, and time, and conversation. And this room. Why not the bed? Especially when one of us is injured.
Molsey glances at Damion, who gives a faint shrug and murmurs, It's her offer.
Is it okay to take up space, she offers?
Molsey asks Damion.
Yes, as long as you move slow and give it back if she wants it. She'll let you know. You're not taking, it's sharing.
I just want you to be comfortable, that's all.
Molsey studies her. She looks nervous, but she doesn't back down. He nods once, slowly.
We can try. If it's too much, I'll move.
Her posture softens with relief.
That's fine. Of course.
She walks over and pulls back the blanket, careful and precise. Molsey makes his way to the edge of the bed and sits gingerly, the tension still in every line of his body.
You can lie in the middle, if that's all right,
she says, kneeling up on her side of the bed.
So both Damien and I are nearby, in case you need anything.
He doesn't respond, but he shifts over. A little, just enough to give Damion space on the other side of him. Hannah lies down delicately, leaving space between them.
This is just a place of rest.
Damion joins them last, settling onto his side next to Molsey. Hannah tucks the blanket up to her collarbone and folds her hands beneath her chin.
Do you feel okay?
When no one responds, she adds.
Molsey?
He looks up at the ceiling.
What do I feel? I just care about what she feels. Does she feel safe? I'm not invading her space, am I? I'm not overwhelming her, am I?
Hannah props herself up on her elbow.
Molsey, are you okay?
He locks eyes with her and stiffens. Damion places a gentle hand on his shoulder.
Are you okay?
Hannah furrows her brow.
I'm fine. But now I'm concerned about you.
He looks back up at the ceiling.
Don't worry about me.
I'm worried. You were just beaten up by a powerful magical woman. I'm worried if you're okay.
I'm fine.
Damion speaks up.
Hannah, Molsey has a lot to think about. He can get lost in his thoughts sometimes, but he needs to do that work. He knows to say something when he needs help.
Ah,
she says shyly, then lies down again.
I'm sorry.
It's okay,
Mulsey says quickly, then proceeds slowly.
It's nice that you care. First Damien, now Hannah. Why, after everything I've done to them, how can they still care?
He then sends to Damien.
I don't know what to do with this.
He places a hand on his heart. It's growing thick and heavy.
Damien squeezes his shoulder.
Breathe deep first.
Mulsey takes a deep, slow breath.
What are you afraid of?
Hannah being hurt. I'm terrified.
She's safe right now. At this very moment, the three of us are safe and resting.
Is she safe? What if I'm hurting her right now and I don't see it?
You're not. You've been careful. You've respected her space. After that, you have to trust people to speak up when they're hurting.
Damien would speak up when he was hurt, and Mulsey ignored it. So many times he ignored it. He brings his fingers up to his brow and rubs at it. Damien moves his hand to cover Mulsey's heart.
You're spiraling. Just breathe right now. Just simply breathe.
Mulsey scans firelight flickering along the ceiling. He lowers his hand and rests it on Damien's.
Just breathe. Just breathe.
Hannah shifts again. She's readjusted herself a few times. Mulsey glances over from the corner of his eye and sees she's worrying a loose thread on the blanket.
I know you said you'd ask for help if you wanted it, but...
She turns to face the two of them.
Something is wrong, and I want to help.
Kana, it's okay.
Mulsey starts, but Hannah interrupts.
Can I read for you?
Mulsey blinks.
Read to me.
You've been reading to me, and it's been so, so helpful.
She props herself up on her elbow, voice soft and intent.
Can I return the favor?
He turns his head. Her thoughts are nearly tumbling into him, brimming with nervous energy. She wants to soothe herself. She's hoping he'll say yes for both their sakes.
Okay.
Mulsey nods.
That would be helpful. Thank you.
You? Accepting help?
Damien teases.
Her thoughts were practically begging me to say yes.
Damien just shrugs and snuggles into Mulsey's side.
Anna slides out of bed, grabs the book from the table, and nestles back against the pillows and headboard.
What page were you on?
He clears his throat.
Page 63.
She ruffles through the pages and stops.
Chapter 7.
She beams and settles into the pillows. Her voice is small but steady. She doesn't perform. She just reads. Calm, honest, real. Mulsey listens to the story, but only half. The other half listens to her, to the rhythm, the breath, the soft syllables lapping like waves. Her voice carries him. Damien's touch steadies him. Something deep inside him loosens. At the end of the chapter, she yawns.
That's enough for tonight.
She smiles down at them, warm and sleepy, then leans forward and taps each of their foreheads.
Good night.
Good night.
Mulsey blinks, but feels he should join in.
Sleep well.
Hannah slips beneath the covers again, folding her hands under her cheek. Her breathing begins to slow. Mulsey watches her for a moment. She seems calm now. He squeezes Damien's hand and glances over. Damien looks up and shrugs.
I like her.
Yeah, I like her too. Chapter 10. Team of Three. 12th day of the 7th moon. 1162 HC.
The water's gone cold. Mulsey doesn't move. He sits in the tub with his arms draped over the edge, skin pruned and spine curved. No blood on his body tonight. No lash marks. No bruises. But he can't feel his own breath. Zadeshi was fine tonight. Just talked, used him, and dismissed. It was the talking that got to him, though. She didn't even know she hurt him. She wasn't trying, but he's stuck and can't move because of what she said. They were just sitting there in the chairs before the fire drinking wine. She was blathering on, laughing, when suddenly she brought him up. The zippy little thing, Zudeshi had said. What was his name? Gods, he talked like he was on fire. Hello, rillo, rillo. She laughed. Laughed. But Mulsey dearly misses those greetings and mannerisms.
Sudeishi had continued, drove everyone mad. You were the only one who could tolerate him. She paused, thinking. Wait, I haven't seen him in ages. Whatever happened to him?
You killed him, you fucking bitch. No, I killed him. It was her order, but my action. I drowned his light with a flick of my hand. One wave, and he was gone, snuffed out beneath the tide.
He rubs a hand down his face, but it doesn't clear anything.
I killed him in more ways than one.
From the other room, he hears Hannah's voice talking to the fire.
You're looking tired tonight, little fire.
Her tone is light, soft, almost conspiratorial. It's not for him. That's what makes it work. She doesn't know he can hear her. He closes his eyes.
Here's another light in the darkness. Am I going to drown this one too?
Hannah hums a few bars of a lullaby, makes up a second verse that doesn't quite rhyme.
The silence in his chest cracks. Just a little. Just enough to let air in. He thinks of how she reads to them every night now. Thinks of her voice sipping along the page, gentle and unassuming. Thinks of how Damion curls in close and smiles into his skin. Of how she talks to the fire like it's a guest and not just fuel. And gods, the laughter. And Damion laughs when she's around too. He thinks of the time Damion tried to lecture her about fire. It's combustion, Damion had said, exasperated. Not a pet.
Kanna didn't even blink. Your combustion.
That had been it, he snorted. She lost it. Damion tried to stay serious, failed entirely. They'd all crumpled into laughter like children up past bedtime.
He draws a breath, and a smile sneaks onto his lips. He gets out of the tub and dries off slowly. He remembers how she tried to help when his arms couldn't lift the other day. She treats his injuries like it's a shared burden. He pulls on some nightclothes and walks barefoot back into the bedchamber. Hammer is still kneeling by the fire, stoking it gently.
Thank you for keeping the room cozy.
Damion sits in an armchair, watching her with quiet amusement. He catches Morsay's eye and nods.
Morsay climbs onto the bed. The mattress shifts beneath him. He doesn't speak. He just rests on his knees in the center. He plans to lie down and sink into his grief, but then his breath catches.
A fragile sound slips free before he can stop it. It overtakes him. The tears begin to fall. No sobbing, just a steady, unstoppable trail slipping down his cheeks. He hears the creak of Damion's chair as he stands and his feet pad across the floor towards him. The mattress dips under Damion's weight as he sits, leaning forward to rest a steady hand on Morsay's shoulder. Another shift follows, gentler this time, as Hannah carefully climbs onto the bed.
What's wrong?
Morsay doesn't answer at first. He sits there, breathing. His eyes are open but unfocused, fixed somewhere far beyond. Damion's hand still rests on his shoulder. Hannah wakes and doesn't press. Finally, he speaks.
There was someone. He worked with me until 2 years ago. Zebri. He was quick-tongued, restless, always moving, but bright. So bright.
Hannah shifts closer. Damion squeezes his shoulder.
They assigned him to me as a joke. Thought I'd hate him. Thought I'd toss him back like spoiled meat. But I didn't. I couldn't just send him back to the wolves. So, I trained him. Taught him to read. Made him into a great assistant. For me.
He swallows. His jaw tightens.
I protected him the only way I knew how. By shielding him. By making sure he only ever had to deal with me. And it worked. For a while. He flourished.
Damion lowers his head. He knows the rest.
But then, I made a mistake. Zudeishi decided I needed to be punished. She revoked my office. Reassigned Zebri.
Morsay pauses and fidgets with the bed covers.
And he couldn't handle it. Not the pressure. Not the cruelty. I trained him too gently. He was declared useless. And she...
He stops, breath catching. Another tear falls.
She ordered him called.
Damion finishes for him.
And made Morsay be the one to do it.
Hannah's hand curls against the blanket.
Cold,
You mean, like...
executed.
Morsay looks at her now, and this time, his eyes focus.
I don't know what the right move is. I don't know how to keep you safe.
He glances at Damion, then back to Hannah.
If we continue what we're doing, you could be reassigned and then be hurt or killed because I didn't train your endurance.
He huffs and furrows his brow.
But if I train your endurance, I could hurt you or kill your spirit.
He looks up at her, desperate.
I don't want to hurt you, even if it's to help you. I hurt Damion so much already, I honestly don't know if I can do it again. Even if it's for your own good.
He looks down at his fingers, worrying the blanket.
But I'm terrified of you being hurt. I want to do anything to keep you safe.
He sighs slowly.
I can't make a decision. I feel paralyzed.
Kun is quiet for a while. She traces the edge of the blanket with her fingers, thinking. Then, softly, she says.
That sounds like a really heavy thing to carry. I mean, deciding something like that, about someone else.
She glances up at him, then back down again.
But it's about me, isn't it? My body, my life. I don't think it's fair for you to have to carry all of it. Not by yourself.
She hesitates, searching for the right words.
I know I'm not strong like you two, but I'm not made of glass.
She draws in a breath.
If there are decisions about me, I want to be part of the deciding, even if it's scary.
Her voice wavers a little, but she holds steady.
We're kind of a team now, aren't we? So maybe we should share the hard parts, the worry, the risks, all of it.
Hannah leans in and rests her forehead on Molsey's.
You're not alone in this.
She holds her head steady.
Damion leans in too, resting his head against both of theirs.
No one carries this alone, not anymore.
Molsey's eyes close, and more tears fall.
This sounds like the agreement.
Molsey huffs a tired laugh.
What's the agreement?
Damion hops off the bed, and Hannah and Molsey sit back to watch. He pulls out an old, warm parchment embedded in the silk screen's frame and climbs back onto the bed. He unfolds it carefully between them.
We made this years ago, a written pact for how to survive together. We made decisions in advance so we wouldn't break under pressure later.
He looks up at Hannah.
It's time you know the plan. It's how we've made it this far.
Hannah lifts the parchment and reads it, brow furrowed in concentration. The agreement. 1. We are equals. We speak to each other as equals and make decisions together. Neither of us will give the other orders. 2. We look out for each other. We promise to help each other's well-being however we can, within reason while under Zugaishi's control. 3. We talk. We agree to speak honestly about how we're doing, even if it's hard, even if we'd rather not. 4. Consent under Zudaishi. If Zudaishi gives an order that involves the other, we agree in advance that it will be followed. We will not hold guilt or blame for surviving. 5. No martyrs. We promise not to make decisions alone that would endanger ourselves to protect the other without discussion, unless there is no other option. We are worth saving together. She looks up at them.
I agree with all of this. It's simple, but sensible.
She hesitates.
You'd let me be part of this.
Damion nods and glances at Molsey, who nods too.
Let's do this together.
Damion slides off the bed and fetches a pen. Hannah pulls her book from beneath her pillow, sets the parchment atop it, and signs her name beside theirs. Hannah Linwood. She looks up.
That's it then. I'm in.
We're a team of three now.
Molsey slowly draws in a breath and lets it out in a long exhale. Damion is curled up against his side, one arm draped over his chest, breathing deep and slow as he sleeps. The edge of Hannah's hand is gently pressed against Molsey's shoulder. She's been drifting toward him, gradually sharing more and more bed space with him as each day goes by. If this keeps up, eventually he'll have both of them with their arms draped over his chest.
Both of them, here. Solely because of me.
He lets out a slow exhale through his nose. He shouldn't have broken down in front of them. Shouldn't have confessed the story of Zebri,
All it did was manipulate them into sharing a burden they don't deserve. They're kind. Too kind. They only want to help because they care, not because it's right. Not because it should be their weight.
He agreed to share that weight. But he knows better. He got them stuck in his palace atop Harmony Mountain, so it is his responsibility to keep them safe. His, not theirs. Not shared. His alone.
That means, the question remains, how does he keep Hannah safe?
Prue's voice echoes back to him from earlier. I don't want to live like that. Always in fear. That's not living.
She said these past few days were bearable because they shared their lives. They read. They laughed. She smiled. Not in spite of the danger, but right through it. If that gets me killed, so be it, she'd said. At least I still laughed.
A smirk twitches in the corner of his mouth. He remembers her giggling when she confessed her need to dance. She apparently has been dancing in the tub. A full smile threads on his lips. So that's why she always leaves the bathing chamber light on her toes, and often with a twirl. He bites his lip to suppress a huff of laughter. He sees it now. She is always dancing. The little hops and shuffles when she crosses the room. The way her arms sometimes drift behind her like she is trailing starlight. The thought of having that taken from her sobers him instantly. He takes another deep, steadying breath.
I have to treat her softly enough that she can still do what brings her joy. If she's reassigned, it's all right if the transition is hard, because at least she had more freedom now.
His lip quivers. Being soft may kill her. But she told him. She told him what mattered. That laughter matters. That dance matters. That living matters.
It frightens him. It terrifies him. But she says that's what's important to her. His body trembles from the weight of the decision. And he has to honor what she said she needs to truly survive. Laughter and dance.
You've been listening to Breaking Out by Emery Loon. Narration produced with AI voice technology. Thank you for listening.